Hey friends, let me jump in here real quick to remind you of our sponsor, 25 Transportation and Solutions. That's 25 Transportation and Solutions. They give you quality transportation, delivery services that you can depend on, getting your freight to and from its destination safe and secure. Contact them at info@25.org. That's info@TWENTY5.org, or you can call them at 240-479-6376. See you out on the road. Now, let's get back to our episode of the Truth and Coffee Time podcast. Back to let you know that I really can't let you go. I'm too close to you. So stay by my side, like I stay on your mind.
What time is it, Mink?
It's Truth and Coffee time.
Hey friends, welcome to the Truth and Coffee Time podcast with Diverse Love. I am Denise.
And I'm Brian.
Get your coffee or whatever your cup of joy is and settle in for some bold conversations, some random topics, a few cuss words, and a whole lot of us. Brian,
let's go.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Truth and Coffee Time podcast. My name is Denise, or D, and Mr. B, as you know, is my faithful and loving co-host, my sidekick, and he's out doing sidekick-ish. Actually, he's got the grand joys tonight. So usually it's just me on the interviews, but he's always here in spirit, bringing me coffee and waving hi. So you might see him in the background, Amanda, as we're going forth with this. But thank you so much, everyone, for joining us tonight. We have another wonderful entrepreneurial special on this platform tonight, where you know we bring in amazing and phenomenal people to talk about their journey, to talk about their adventures, to talk about their side hustles, to talk about their entrepreneur, and to give us pointers on things that maybe we're thinking about going into, and to also, you know, at some point give what they do so we can tell what services they have, just in case we need them as well. So tonight is no different. We have the wonderful and beautiful Amanda Flood. She is a licensed psychotherapist. She's a private practice owner. She's a corporate mental health consultant, a mindset coach for minority women in business. I want you to know, when I read mindset coach, I want you to know that I have talked to probably 100 entrepreneurs, and several of them are motivational coaches and life coaches. I have never, ever saw the title mindset coach. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks, because it no matter what you tell me to do with my life, if my mind is not right, come on now. You know what I mean? So I love that. I love it. She is your partner. She's unleashing your potentials and seizing life's opportunity. She has been in the game doing this for 15 years. And she is igniting the revolution where women are prioritized for their mental health. She is a mom, a wife, a woman of God, a child with Caribbean roots. And she is no stranger to the rich tapestry of experience that molds us. And she's a distinguished alumna of the University of Connecticut, where she has a master's degree in social work from Fordham University. Please welcome Miss Amanda Flood. And I hope I did you justice. I know you gave me a bio, but I was so excited. I didn't want to give it all away, but you are amazing. You wear many hats.
Thank you. Oh, it's so good to be here. And you did a great job. It's always crazy to like hear somebody tell you about yourself. It's like, yeah, that's me.
I did that. Right. And then it's like, yeah, I do that too.
All me, all of the above.
Yes, all you. And I love it. I love it. I watch you on social media. You know, I've watched you for a long time. When I first started creating any content on social media. And I used to highlight some of the women that I really admire
on social media. You were one of them before I even knew who you were or who your cousin was who illustrated our children's book. So it was so crazy that here I am choosing her to do our illustration, but I had chose you sometime prior because I just admired your content so much and how you don't try to force feed, you know, women, but you try to show them and you show them with such, you know, eloquency. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you so much.
Oh, thank you. And you don't always realize the power of your words, but what you said really hit home already. Because you don't always know how what you're doing like impacts other people, especially like in this like social space. So yeah, it's great to hear that you could receive how I'm trying to show up in the space. Mm-hmm. And I love the idea that like I chose you. I already knew something about you, and there's a part of it that you were already following in terms of just like my journey and things and how we've come back into this space together. So yeah, really, really awesome how the universe works.
Yeah, I know. I love that. I love it. The world is not as big as what people think. My husband always says that it really is a small world. You know, we can go anywhere around the world, and if for some reason we'll know somebody there or somebody we know been there, and you know, so you just, you never know. You absolutely never know. So let's just jump in. Tell us something. I always ask my guests this. I know we're all on social media. I know a lot of us share a lot of pieces of ourselves on social media. But what is it? Is there something about you that most people don't know?
Yeah, I know. In socials, we're like all up in everybody's business, right?
and it's not always. Let me see. Good word for this. It ain't always true.
Very true. That's just like a persona of us, right? So, so let's see. So I was actually born a lefty, totally random, but you asked for it, right? And my dear mother, right? She had some interesting like superstition and ideas. She thought that if you were left-handed, it meant that you owed the devil money, right? So if you're coming, you might know that one. So she raised me as a righty. And I didn't really know till like, I just kind of accidentally had this moment when I was like an adolescent and I was signing something with my left hand. And then I just like stopped abruptly. Like it was like, no, you're not supposed to do that thing. And it was after that, I asked her about it. And she was like, oh yeah, you're supposed to be left-handed. Yes. Right. And what I even find most interesting about it, though, is it makes me think about like the power of living under someone else's expectations. Yeah. Right. Like I became what she wanted, which was right-handed. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how many of us live out of unhelpful expectations or fears of other people. And we grow up thinking that this is who we should be or we ought to be, and that's how we show up, but it really doesn't serve us, right? And I think that's why I love being in this space, because I get to help you shift out of these like limitations and expectations of who you should be, so you can really confidently embrace who you want to be and how you want to show up as our authentic self, right? For me, like, I'm okay being a righty now because it means I get to call myself ambidextrous. But not all of us may be okay with where we are in life because of someone else's choices. But yeah, that's the interesting thing about me.
And, you know, there was a word you said in there that you said that people may have raised you with unhelpful. You didn't say unhealthy, because it wasn't nothing unhealthy about it. It was just what she had believed because of whatever superstition. Because I was raised by my grandparents in the South. I mean, they said the gap means that you're lucky. I mean, it was all kind of things that
they had their things, right?
Yeah. So now, like, my gap has gotten, you know, I used to have like a little tiny gap, and they've told me for years that my gap is lucky, and you know, don't mess with you. So now my gap in my mouth is so wide, and now I'm, you know, I want to get braces, but I'm like, right, will I mess up my luck?
That's real, right? That becomes so real. You're like, oh no, what do I do?
like planted in my head now, you know, and it's not unhealthy, but it's definitely unhelpful. It's just some random information that I cannot release, you know. So, honey, I know.
We just be doing some things to our people. But yes.
Don't put your purse on the floor. I mean, and then I raised my girls the same way. Don't put your purse on the floor. Don't sweep people's feet. Girl, we could be in the house right now and a total stranger could be in here and sweeping and we'll get knocked down because my kids be looking like, I know you did not just sweep my mama's feet.
Yes.
Random, unuseful information. Right.
Just because, but that's what we do. It makes life interesting.
Yeah. Very much so. Very much. So speaking of your mom and speaking of that, what is your favorite childhood memory?
Ooh, for me, it's riding my BMX bike. I just have this memory, like being on the bike and riding it in a dress, right? So it's like this whole like sense of freedom for me where I wasn't confined into anything. When I look back at it, that's how I see it. Like I wasn't confined into like a typical role of what like a woman should be, right? Like it's not graceful to be in a dress riding a bike or outside like with the boys, right? I was free to do that. And I'm glad that I had that experience. Yellow's my favorite color, so the bike was yellow. So like just everything about it, I didn't know it then, but it represents a lot of like who I am now and what I want to be, just in whatever space that I want and with the freedom to show up however I want. And
And so you mentioned and show up. Did you know that when you were younger? Like right now, all the things that you have just so powerfully embraced. If you go back and say something to your 18-year-old self, what would you tell her?
Wow. I think I would tell her to, you know, keep that sense of freedom and don't let the world confine you again. And don't let them tell you like how you should be or that there's one like standard or way of being. I think just like everybody else, I kind of fell into the path of what I should do, you know, should get married. I should, you know, get into a career and be that for forever. Should get the good like pension job. Like there's a lot of shoulds and I'm not even sure where all of them came from, but I followed them because it was what you're supposed to do. But I think in doing that, I kind of lost some of the freedom of, you know, just being.
Yeah. So I know if I could look back and talk to my 18-year-old self, I think I would tell her, don't be afraid to take more risks. And not
a good one, because it doesn't really matter anyway. I just go through the thing, girl. If you mess up, it's all right. Yeah.
And you know, not risk to harm you, but risk that could actually elevate you. Don't be afraid to fail to do those things. You know,
I waited
until I've been much older now to like take these risks. And like my daughter, I have a daughter who's 36 and I have another daughter who's 31. And I'm learning from them, you know, and both of them are at different places in their lives going through whatever obstacles they go through, but they're taking chances. And then I
isn't it kind of cool to see? You're like, man, I wish I was able to do that. Yeah.
And I tell them, I wish I had that internal freedom that they have right now at their age to do what they're doing. Like my daughter has several businesses. My entrepreneurial journey started because of her. You know what I mean? And so it's been just such a life lesson. And so I look at them and I just, not even jealous, but I'm like, wow, they're brave. And I know that I raised them brave, but they took it to a whole nother level, a level that I was not able to do at their age, you know?
Powerful. Yeah.
So now that you, speaking of entrepreneur, now that you are on this entrepreneur journey, and of course I read your bio and you have many hats, but I know one of your most powerful and most endearing one is helping women of color. So can mm-hmm. you give me a little bit of that backstory and that journey from beginning on how you got on mm-hmm. this path?
I think for me, it was kind of unexpected, accidental. So I think, like you spoke about, you know, your children and how they are exposed to like being entrepreneurs now and having all these great ideas and doing multiple things. That really wasn't in my like vision of life. It was really, again, just that traditional love. You just do that one thing and you just yes. do it for a long time, right? So
he been at the job for 26 years. See what I'm saying?
Okay. Oh, and not creating different opportunities for you where if that don't work out, you got other backups. Like that just was not our language. That's like exploded now. Mm-hmm. And I think it's for us to kind of learn how we fit into that space too. But for me, it just started with like the basics of like everybody else trying to stretch that dollar and make it work and trying to have like some extra income for myself. But it's like, I thought I didn't have any skills. Like I couldn't bake. I wasn't like selling crafts like that, right? So it's like, girl, what can you do? So right. I realized that, well, I still had like my career, right? And I had all these skills as a professional that I've studied and learned for all these years. And that was really marketable. Mm-hmm. So I started to lean into that. But what was happening at the same time as I was thinking about how to use that, where I was in my career was really getting tired and burnt out too, right? Mm-hmm. And it felt very like stagnant. Like I didn't want to get out the car in the parking lot. Oh, to go to the
yeah. Yeah. Right? In there. I know exactly what you mean.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're there and you're like, why are these people
parking lot?
Right. Yeah. You have to talk about to go into the building. Like that's a problem, right? When people are talking to you and it doesn't make sense. Like that's a problem. You're not really just happy anymore. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. So that was happening. And I started to explore, okay, you know, how can I maybe use my skills as a contractor? And for me in the mental health space, I could do that as a therapist. So I just started talking about it, right? This is what I wanted to do. And in talking about it, someone was like, oh, why don't you go try working for this person? And that's how that opportunity came about for me to start in that direction. And I was there and I was like, okay, I'm just going to be here for a year because I want to learn it because I want to do it on my own and bigger and better if that's the case.
Right.
And after that, it was like, okay, how do I do this on my own? Oh, I know what, like, let me have my own practice. So just from the action of taking the chance on what I wanted to do and putting myself in a space to like learn it, it just like sparked off all these like creative things for me. Like, oh, I can make this into a business, which I never thought about before, but just in the space of action, all this started to come about. So that led into that. And then being in the space of mental health, it was just unfortunate to keep seeing women coming into the practice and struggling with anxiety, like how do I get out of my head, overthinking, putting things off, the procrastination, mm-hmm. dealing with old stories that we're responding to that's not serving us anymore. And I hated that. And it was like, okay, I have to get to you sooner. And then that's where the coaching side of it came in, where it was like, okay, we can get you these skills so you can show up in the spaces that you need to in the way that you need to. I don't need to see you on the couch for therapy, right? Like, let's get it to you sooner so you can show up better. And then being in that entrepreneurial space where I didn't have the blueprint and the role models, and I was really creating it as I went, it made sense to pair that together. Where it's like, okay, how do I help you with your mindset to keep showing up and building as an entrepreneur, to keep building your business, really keep building on your purpose? Because mm-hmm. I think I was dying in that space at work because I was no longer in my purpose, right? Mm-hmm. I needed to serve on a bigger level, on a deeper level, in a creative way where I can just reach in a different space. Mm-hmm. And I think it was God kind of pivoting me in that way. And it just really aligned. And this is where I am.
God has a way of pivoting us in. And like he's pivoted you several times, but you pivot yourself back.
Mm-hmm.
You are, you know, I was sharing with you something before we turned on the mic, but my husband, he, when I told him, he hugged me, but then he started clapping. Like he was like cheering, mm-hmm. and he said, it took him to push you because you wouldn't jump.
Yes.
It took him to push you. And I just started crying because it was like, at one hand, it was a relief. On the other hand, I felt, you know, disconnected, you know, that commitment was just disconnected. So God has a way of pivoting us, but sometimes we just don't listen. And so happy you listen. So you see your clients face to face and virtually. So you work both sides of it. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, COVID has created this space where we can see each other virtually, but so we do both. So you know, effectively I have my group practice and that's like our mental health arm of things. And then the same skills we really take and apply in our, we have a coaching and consulting firm. So we were able to coach on that side and do more like speakings and trainings and things on that side. But it's really threaded through just this idea of like our well-being and really focused on like our mindset, right? And what we need to really show up and navigate the world.
Yeah.
Effectively. Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, while you are striving toward that journey, at the beginning, were there any challenges, you know, as you're pivoting, as you're learning where your purpose is, as you're learning how to navigate, were there any challenges and how did you overcome those challenges?
Yeah. So I would say one of the most significant things I faced was really like the fear of showing up and being visible, because both as a professional, I think we're sort of like groomed into this space, especially in therapy, where it's not about us. It really is about the client, right? So when you come into this new like social world, a lot of it's about you, like you are your brand, right? So you got to figure out how to show up and talk about you and balance all of that. Mm-hmm. And then I also grew up from this place, again, going back to all the things we're raised under, where children should be seen and not heard.
Yes. Right? Absolutely.
So those beliefs and expectations also followed me into both my career and in my business journey, where it really made it hard for me to like speak up at times, or I felt like I needed like permission to be in a space and to like talk and have ideas and things, right? So a lot of it has been unlearning that for me and getting comfortable with, you know, this is who I am, this is what I want to say, and what I want to say belongs here, and there's space for it here, right? So I needed to really get over that so that I could be visible and, you know, get on socials, do the lives, share aspects of my life and my work, because that's really what people connect to, your authentic self. But we have to really learn how to show up and be authentic, because we're not conditioned to really put ourselves out there and really talk about us. People don't really want to know how you're doing or what you're into, and right?
Especially, you know, not to date us or my age, especially our age, we are not taught to put ourselves out there. Like you said, we're taught to be in the background. So it was very hard. I was stumbling through social media so bad, and I still do, but not as bad as I was before, but I was stumbling on what to say, what to show. Can I say this? Should I show my face? Should I, you know, should I be quiet? Should I just show a picture? It was because I was.
And that holds us back in that headspace, because so much energy goes into that. How do I do this? What do I say? Should I? And that is energy that we could be using to move forward on the thing that we're working on, right? And that's why this work is so important to me, because I want us to get out of that space and get more into the action part of it. But it really is something that we have to unlearn and relearn, right? Like, power to the new generation that got it. But a lot of us are in this space because we just weren't taught to be, or the expectation wasn't that you should be out there. So that's something we got to really come to terms with and, you know, kind of check for ourselves a little bit so we can show up and do the thing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like a little bit of compassion, because you're not doing it just because you don't want to. There's some things working in the background there.
Yeah. I know when we were starting our podcast, we went to a podcast masterclass, and we've taken a few classes, just investing in ourselves to try and make sure that we are doing the best we can to make sure that the podcast is as good as it can be. with the knowledge we have. And we went to this class, and one of the sections of the class talked about social media and how that, you know, once you become a podcaster, you also have to become a content creator and get yourself out there so people know you're there. You just can't do a podcast and then just throw it and think people are still looking for you, you know? And they were saying that you need to post 6 or 7 things a day. Girl, Amanda.
So what? Of what? Of me?
Out of all the stuff that we learned, and I was so excited. And I love podcasting. But that part, I still struggle with. And as soon as they taught that part of the class, I was paralyzed. I mean, completely paralyzed. And like, how do you do that? I'm up to two a day. And I'm struggling. I be sitting back like this, like, I'm still struggling with
how to figure it out.
Show up there, you know?
Yeah, but you know, like what I love, and I think how you can think about it is, I see social media now as like a conversation, and it's, you know, what do I want to say, or what do my people need me to say, or even just like the parts of myself that's like evolving. How can I talk about like those parts too, right? So I think that's how people can look at it. It's just a conversation, and then start to think about, okay, you know, what unique experiences or perspectives like do you bring to the industry? Because yeah, there's a whole bunch of different podcasts, but like what makes you guys unique, and how did you get into this, and what are the things that you do? And like that becomes like little buckets of areas for us to focus, right? Yeah. Or if you think about, you know, what part of sharing your personal journey or struggles might benefit others, then those are the things that you can start to talk about too, and how does it connect, right? Like, I was left-handed. That's a story that we shared here, but it still connects to my work when you think about the story behind that and what it means. And now that gives someone a whole extra layer to connect to. You might connect more to that story than you would if I just said to you, like, yeah, the things that you grew up with are holding you back.
Yeah.
Right? Like, right?
And when people say something as open as that, you start thinking about all the big things, like, yeah, you know, this happened, all these huge things. We're not thinking that something as simple as being lefty but being taught to talk, you know, right with our right hand could be something that is embedded in us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That I can, and now we're coming on our 100th episode.
Which is so dope. I can think of so many things to talk about.
Like, I didn't know we was going to make it past 10.
Ooh, that's the story. And here's why, right? All the things I learned are like the top 10 things I learned in 100 episodes. That's so many dope conversations. I love talking to people. You learn so much from them. So I could imagine all the richness that's there.
Right. As my husband says, I take a lot of notes when I'm talking to people. Like, I've been sitting here with you, like, that's powerful. Like, that unhelpful versus unhealthy has really stuck in my mind. And he says that, you know, you have so many notes, and there's so much that has been imparted, you know, in you. And it has helped me on my entrepreneurial journey. But I'm never sure how to convey that in my content on social media. You saying, just have a conversation. Just think you're having a conversation, because there's somebody out there that wants to hear it. And now we're at this point now where we're thinking about launching a second podcast that is strictly raw relationship, period. Just like bringing on relationship experts and everything. So my husband's like, honey, you're struggling with putting two things on social media. How are you going to do the other? Well, I got time now.
Right. Oh, man.
Thank you so much. So, coaching. I know that you do personal coaching, life coaching, business coaching. Tell me, what is the difference? Because that's a lot of branches. You got one coaching tree. but you have different branches according to what I guess what a person may need. So could you talk to me a little bit on how do you determine what space that that person needs to show up? Because I know people come to you and they really, because I go to therapy, you know, I used to go to therapy and I'm thinking about I probably need to start back again. But I don't always show up as your authentic self. Because even in therapy, you don't want people to know exactly why you're there. They have to really dig.
Yeah, I'm coming for help, but I ain't going to tell you all the things.
Yeah, you even want to show up on in therapy like, I ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm just here right now, you know.
Right. That's always my favorite because it's like, it's never what people call about. They're like, yeah, I just need a little help, you know, talking through a couple things. And then you get in there, they're like, yeah, my dog died. I'm divorced. I'm thinking about, like, I don't know, leaving my friend. And it's like, okay.
Exactly.
But I get it. That goes back to this space of like, are we comfortable talking about ourselves, right? And we are really conditioned to put ourselves second to everyone else and their needs. So even in the space where it's welcomed, it still takes a little bit of work to get there to be comfortable with it. For me with coaching, I would say, so for me, it's therapy, it's the mindset and business coaching. And within that, we'll either do it like individually, but I really love the power of groups. So I do a lot more like group coaching and accountability. And those are kind of my like buckets for showing up. So depending on where the person is. So, you know, therapy, we're looking at some like deeper issues and how it's really stopping you from functioning well. But when it comes to your business, it's sort of like therapy light in terms of, okay, like how is that thinking stopping you from taking action in your business and taking action on your goals? Then we really can look at that from a coaching standpoint. Let's make sure you're clear on those goals, clear on what you need to like grow your business. If it's understanding your client or how you need to show up or what that might look like, then that puts us more like the business realm of development. But from an inside out approach, I like to say it's like mind-body coaching, mind-body business, right? And that's what makes me a little bit different in the work that I do. People like approach for coaching, like we're getting into your goals. We're trying to understand your motivation and why you want to show up as the thing that you want to do, whatever that is, coach, speaker, course creator, whatever that is, because once we can tap into that inner why for you, it gives us something powerful to really work with, right? So that's how we start. And then from there, we could look at, okay, what's getting in the way? What are those emotional roadblocks? And here's how you handle that. Where do you want to grow? How do you want to leverage all of your skills and expertise? Okay, let's look at that. And then these are the ways that you could show up. And then we could help you with that too. But the core of it first is really your why and what's going on and what's preventing you from showing up in the first place.
I think a lot of things, most things in our lives gears back to our why. Like, why did you do that? Why are you still doing that? Like, there, why has so many tangent things to it, you know? Like, why are you going into the entrepreneur space?
Powerful question, yeah.
Aren't you going in the, you know, so I think why is so powerful, which is something that they always say you should start with. You know, I've heard people say, I'm sorry, I got a piece of hair in my eye or something. I always hear people say you should start with what you're going to do. But I had a coach tell us when we was doing this podcast is, no, figure out why you're doing it. Figure out what your why is, because the what could change.
Absolutely. Especially because you think it's like when you go to college, you swear like you know your major, but most people you change your major by the second year. So yeah, like the what might evolve, but it's your why. Like why do you want to do this? And that deeper knowing, I think. Yeah. I think that's even though that can evolve too, but
yeah,
and that's bigger.
Why can change, but it always has like this rooted baseline, you know.
And similar,
kind of agree. So. Okay, so I want to shift gears a little bit because what really piqued my interest out of all the stuff that you do is I saw a post because, you know, I follow you. So I'm always, you know, I'm trolling you, stalking you, whatever, but I love everything you do. And I saw a post, I'm an introvert, and I saw a post you did about how to effectively share your business with others, like as an entrepreneur. I suck at that. And it's always, you know, I'm always walking on eggshells. you know, trying to sell, share, you know, promote, you know, what I do to others or my brand. And so I always look at, you know, what's the best way of doing that. So before you answer that part, I want to know, how do you approach building your professional relationships or networking with others? And then I want you to fall into telling us, once you build that relationship, how do you effectively share your business? You know, and I think you had like three strategies on your post, and I would love to kind of dig into that a little bit.
So I think sharing your business involves like a mix of different strategies. And I'm actually an introvert as well, which is usually surprising to people, especially because I talk all day. But I can show up when I need to. And under certain circumstances, I think I'm extrovert-like. I've got extrovert tendencies. But I like to be by myself. I don't really like the spotlight, which is probably, again, attached to a lot of old stories, right? But my why is bigger and deeper for me. So it makes it okay, or that's my motivation to show up and talk, even though like my natural self would be like, yeah, no, we can hang out in the back today, right? So again, going back to just knowing that why, but what has worked for me and I think is sort of doable is going live and coming from that space of it is just a conversation. So if I'm just having a conversation with myself, I could kiki it and like laugh at myself too and do that, you know, and I would say kind of have a plan in doing that. So know what you want to talk about, maybe have like some bullets and things. So when you do get a little nervous or overwhelmed, like your mind doesn't go blank and you know already like this is what I want to do. So having those live conversations is pretty cool. Hosting like opportunities where you can really showcase your expertise. So if you're doing like little webinars, even on those lives, I think that's always awesome. And what I've found to be super powerful too is also hosting conversations with people. So I do a lot of chat series with other women, and I just think about like, who would I want in my life, or what are the topics that I needed to grow as an entrepreneur? Like selfishly, some of this is about me, right? It's about pouring into myself. But I know it's also going to give back to other people because I'm not the only one. There are other women who need to know these things, right? And by virtue of doing that, you tend to build a really powerful network. Like I do things and people always be like, oh, how do you know that person? It was such a good vibe. You know, y'all must be like friends. Okay. And half the time I'm like, yeah, no, I just met them. Sometimes I don't even know what's going to happen when we go live, but it goes well. And all it really is was that I took the chance to ask them. You'd be surprised how many people will say yes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't be afraid to ask people or tell them like, hey, this is what I'm working on, or, you know, I would love to talk to you more about this. Is that okay? So you get to meet new people. You get to connect to their network as well, which helps you to grow a lot faster. You get to learn yourself. But this sort of like collaborative approach, like that leads to more connections and more visibility.
Do you go to like, I see a lot of networking events. Like we have a lot of networking events. I belong to this amazing directory, the Virginia Area Black Business Directory, which is now we're under the Virginia Black Chamber of Commerce. And they have some of the most amazing networking events. Do you attend a lot of network events, or do you pick and choose? You probably are speaking at some of them too.
Yeah. So I try to attend events and for those reasons, right? So like I like to go locally when I can to just like support people. And some of them are like really cool and interesting. So like I'll do things that's like, ooh, that looks like a nice brunch. Like, let me go. Because again, I get to get something out of it too. Or maybe just to support someone that I know that's doing it. If I can, I look for opportunities to speak if it's within my realm. Like sometimes I'll just reach out and ask like, hey, do you need a speaker for blah, 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 blah. And I do that too, because I know that like once people experience me, it's magic. And it's just so much faster to build those connections. and have people work with you when you can be on a platform like that where you're just actively engaging and it's like in real time. It's definitely more powerful than social media. The connections build so much faster. So I do try to do those as well. My introverted tendencies would be to not do as many, but I've been trying to be intentional about trying to do like local ones at least like once a month or at least like every other month. And then looking for meaningful events that I can also speak at and participate with. And sometimes those are free events. Now we're getting into more paid events, which is awesome. And learning how to even just leverage that too, free or paid, it becomes part of your social media, becomes part of just building your brand. So yeah, definitely attending those events online works as well. Getting into communities that it's things that you just enjoy and be willing to just give and pour out, and you'll connect with people that way too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I recently joined a few podcast support communities on Facebook, and it's so interesting. You know, they have like the Black podcasters, and then we have like mm-hmm. the new and upcoming podcasters. And it's just so interesting to see some of the information that they share, and I'm able to share back with them.
Right.
Which is good for me because I'm a behind the scenes type of person, so I don't mind doing that. But I do have to get out more and do more networking because I've met some just amazing people just from doing this podcast. If I wasn't doing this podcast, these are people that I don't think would have
ever come across. Yeah,
so much from them. So it's just been amazing. All right, so. Effectively sharing your business with others, which is one of my paralysis. Can you kind of give us a high level of the three strategies that you shared on your post on how you feel the effective way should be utilized to share your business with others as an entrepreneur?
So one of it is definitely just like knowing your story, right? So I think as we talk about like our authentic self and what that means, like what is the part of you that relates to this work? Because then that's also going to be the thing that makes you stand out and figuring out, okay, like this is the part of me that I want to share because I know it's going to help someone else, right? So I think when you can share from that space, I think that that's powerful as well. And then being able to like collaborate and connect, I think in the same way that I just mentioned, where you're willing to just ask people, right? And have those conversations because it builds your network, you learn from them, and it just increases like your visibility, which is so important when it comes to sharing your work. And then I would say just like challenge yourself, like find a way where like, regardless of what I feel, I'm going to do like these three things, right? So if it's like, okay, I'm going to show up every week, Tuesdays at 12, and I'm going to share my message, right? Or I'm going to take one thing that I've done, whether it's speaking to someone, whether it's like creating this podcast episode, whatever it might be, and I'm going to be intentional about sharing that in like three places, right? Mm-hmm. Or consistently sharing that because that's you getting behind this place of it's not okay for me to share. It's not okay for my voice to be heard, right? And it's important for me to get there. And I think as you do that, then you want to just take a look at like how successful are these things, right? So start tracking things like, you know, the engagement and feedback. Start looking at, okay, now that I have my stuff out there, how am I getting people back to me, right? So how am I generating leads for my business and really monitoring that, right? Because we want to have a system in place once we're out there to get people to connect with us to really then like do the work or do the thing or, you know, whatever your joint or jam is in this entrepreneurial space. And then just keep reflecting on self and sharing that as part of your journey.
I love it. Now, when you're sharing your business with others and say they take you up and on that and they become your client, how do you measure your success? Because I know it's different with each client, but how do you, what's that overall plane that says that you're measuring your success with your clients? I hope I'm asking that right, but.
I think for me, like this is where therapy overlaps because with therapy, like we always have a plan, our treatment plan and goals and objectives. And I think it's the same thing in how I approach coaching, where we're going to have a goal, like this is what you want to work towards. And then we're going to have those milestones, which it's going to look different for everyone, right? Like maybe I want to show up just once a week or be consistent. Maybe I want to grow my business. Maybe, you know, whatever it is, I want to work on, you know, how I think and how I show up in that space. Okay, cool. What's that going to look like for you? How do you know that it's going to get better or it is better? Because we want you to see those benchmarks and milestones, which again, is going to look different from everybody. And I think you can connect better when it's more personal to you. So for sure, that's there. And I think that's how we can reflect your growth. And then whatever that thing that you're doing, we can look at the metrics of that too, right? Going back to things like engagement and are we generating leads and getting you what you need to get to that level. Yeah.
Because everyone's success is different. Everyone. And what
everyone you different. And what yeah.
The success may not be success for me. So.
Right. Yeah. And we've got to define it for each person. That's why all these like cookie cutter things don't always work well for people, because it just may not fit you, girl. Right? And so that's okay. And you may be failing not because of you, but because the approach that you're using does not fit you. It's not aligned with your values, not aligned with your needs.
And you're trying to force the fit.
Yes. Yes. Squeezing into them tight shoes. And it's girl.
So I think that rolls right into my next question, because in order to do that, you got to change your mindset, you know, your mindset. And I cannot get over how much I love the title of a mindset coach. And I just think that is so far beyond a life coach or, you know, a motivational coach, because none of that matters if you have stinking thinking. You know, so I would love to know just a little bit quickly on how did you land on mindset coach as opposed to life coach? And I know you do it all, but I think that that mindset coach is just such a powerful title for you.
Yeah.
And it separates you from other coaches. Just that title.
Yeah. And it's a tough question. And I think it's been tricky for me too, because helping people understand like what it is too, because it isn't life coaching, because I feel like that's tackling like all this parts of your life, which is cool, all the specific things that you might need. But for me, it's like, it's even deeper than that. It's what's happening in the background, like behind the scenes, behind the curtain, right? And that's really about how you think and how you show up. And that's like what you set your mind on is what happens in your life, right? And your success in your business starts with the right mindset. Your success in every part of your life is going to be determined by what you set your mind on. And some of us are really good at setting our minds on the negative things, on the things that's going to go wrong, on the things that I can't do, or if I'm enough, or if I'm built for this, and all of that, but we're not really good at shifting that focus. Those are skills that we've got to learn. And if we can take care of that stuff behind the scenes, going with that same imagery of a show, then the show is going to look phenomenal. Right? You're going to show up like a rock star wherever you are, because we've done all the work behind the scenes. We've moved things, shifted things, put things in place. So then when people see it or see you, you're really showing up at your full potential. Right. So the limiting beliefs aren't there. The fears may be there, but you know what to do with it. And you just get to approach everything from just a more like strategic place, learning how to really respond instead of reacting.
And, you know, African-American women, we get down the rabbit hole with that thinking, you know, just like you said, back to what you said, the way we were raised, you know, we like, you know, compartmentalize that right here. And then we pass that down from generation to generation. And before you know it, we have a generation of women who are stuck.
It's contagious.
Mm-hmm. And we can't seem to get ourselves out of there. So I just love the whole mindset coaching, because we got to get out of it. And I'm talking to me, because I'm one of those people. So I love that. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, what advice, Miss Amanda, would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs that just starting out? on their, you know, on their journey.
Their journey. I would say, I think you know it from the inside, what feels like it's off for you that brings you into this space anyway, where it's like, huh, can I do this? Can I pivot? Can I show up in a way that makes me feel like good about the work that I do? And then when you're in that space though, you have to be aware of how you show up, because it may trigger some things in you where you're really scared to take action and follow through. So I know this thing doesn't feel right. I know that there are things that I can do, but for some reason, I'm just not taking action. Then that lets you know you've got to do a little bit more like self-reflection and really kind of look at yourself in a different way and maybe ask yourself those questions like, why am I showing up this way? Why am I afraid? And what is the thing that I need to adjust, right? Which is one way to approach it. And the other way, if you just wanted to dive right in and kind of dismantle all these things, would be to just do the thing. Lean into the thing that you are called to do and just take those actions, even if it's really small. Because as you take actions, everything else will start to make sense. The part that you're afraid of that you don't know about, that you don't understand, it'll start to make sense. You'll start to see, oh, this is what I need to know to grow, right? Or, oh, this is what I don't know, so I've got to learn more about that. Mm-hmm. The things will start to come together for you, and you will just be in a whole nother place than where you started if you can just take the action.
That action. Yeah. It's that first step. It's like a baby. You know, just that shaky. It's shaky, but taking that first step.
Right. And knowing that, like, know it's going to be shaky. Know it's going to be messy. Know it's going to suck. Know it might not work out, but you get so much information from all of that, that it's worth it to keep making like the small, messy action until like things start to like click and you're like, oh, okay, I got this. This is how I want to show up. This is what I need. This is what I don't need. And you could speak to it better because now you've had that experience with it.
Yeah. When we went to the podcast masterclass, that was the one thing that the coach just told us, that, you know, don't get it twisted. Your first 10 to 20 podcast episode is going to suck, you know. And he says statistically, most people will quit after that because, first of all, it sucks, you know, because you're new at it. And then you took for granted not understanding how much work goes into a podcast, because it's not just getting behind a mic, recording and dropping it out, you know, for the world to see. It's so much back end stuff, you know, editing, writing, blogging, you know, vetting the right guests, making sure everyone aligns with what you're doing, you know, looking for a VA. Just there are so many moving parts to it. You know, I would, like, for instance, I've already been up today for 16, 17, 18 hours, because we got up at 4 a.m. this morning to record some episodes, you know. Then I worked my passion today, and then, you know, had to help homework with the Grandjoys, and now I'm here with you. And then when I get off with you, I got to do a little bit more research, you know.
Yeah. So it's just, that's the part that people don't see and understand too, right? Like, respectfully, it takes a lot of work to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, it's more than anything. So,
But it'll tell you about yourself, though, right? I think if you have trouble with like waiting, it's gonna tell you about yourself. If you have trouble with boundaries, it's gonna tell you about yourself. If you have trouble trusting your instincts, it'll tell you about yourself. But you have the choice: how do I want to respond to that, and how do I want to rise to the occasion and figure out what needs to shift in me so that I can do this work and stick with it and finish and be that podcast that makes it, be that business that thrives, right? Even when it doesn't look like it's moving at all, how can I be that person that sustains that?
Yeah, or how can you be that person that pivots and not failed?
Right.
So I get it. Oh, Miss Amanda, thank you so much. I have a few more questions for you. One is, you are a coach, you are a therapist, you are so many people, you're a woman of God, you're a wife, you're a mother, you're just so many things. So that means you're giving, 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 giving. So how do you give back to you? What does your self-care look like?
Yeah, so I think self-care for me is, I'm active, or I try to be, and I try to be active because I sit a lot. Mm-hmm. And if I sit a lot, it means that I'm putting on a whole lot of weight and my body's going to be like, girl, what's wrong with you? So I got to be intentional with movement for my own body. And that's also the space that I feel really good in. So I try to walk. Now I try to do that every day. I run a lot. I'm a part of some running communities and things like that, which is awesome because that's like the motivation and momentum to keep going. Strong believer in community. So that helps me. And I'm okay with like taking a solo day sometimes. Like I could go to the beach by myself because I need to just disconnect and that feels good to me, right? So I think you have to know what works for you and really embrace that and be intentional with building it into your schedule. Definitely times when the business needs more of me. And I'm okay with that too, because there's just some things that require more time. And it's not that I stop doing the self-care. It's just going to look a little less in time and frequency. So I'm still going to meditate. I'm still going to journal. I'm definitely still going to pray. I'm definitely still going to move my body, but maybe it's less time. So I think when life requires more of you, don't take away the things that work well and sustain you and maintain your balance. Maybe I need to do it less. And that's okay too. 2 minutes of quiet time or meditation could be just as powerful as like 15. And it's better than not doing it at all. So, you know, be mindful of the balance. It's just going to happen in this space. But don't take away the things that keep you balanced.
Yeah. Oh, that's powerful. So who pours back into you then? If you're pouring into everyone else and then your self-care is where you need it, at what level you need it, mm-hmm. but who pours into you? Because I know therapists need therapists, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an interesting question. And who pours back into me? I'm even going to say that that's different for everybody because I don't necessarily need anybody to pour back into me because I'm just in a different space in my life. I think once upon a time I may have looked for that in terms of just like validation and reassurance, but I've always gotten that first and foremost from just like God and my faith and religion and spirituality. And that's always been consistent, but I don't necessarily need it from anybody now. I think how I maintain myself is being connected in my faith and in that exertion of energy out. So if I work out, and sometimes it's hard workouts, things like that, or just in the community of who I'm with and their presence. So if I'm running and we're in our run group, run community, their laughter, their support, us encouraging each other, that pours back into me, right? So it's how I refuel is being in just those positive spaces for me emotionally and physically and spiritually. That is how I recharge, right? Maybe for other folks, they may need to speak to other people or spend more time even just like consuming the things that's filling. But for me, it's more of a combination of the physical and really the power of community. And even just seeing my people thrive and do well, that does it for me.
I love that because it is different for everyone.
You know,
different answers on that every time.
I
love it.
Yeah.
How some people have to feed off other people. Some people feed off other people from a distance. Some people have to have one-on-one connection. Some people, just them and their faith is just, you know, and I'm a true introvert to the point where sometimes I'm a hermit. So I totally get that. I feed off of, like, I can turn on a wonderful sermon and sit there, and just soak in it. So I get it. So at this point of the interview, I always ask a question of your opinion or the guest opinion from one of my previous episodes. So on episode 85, we titled that episode, That's Not Your Cup. And so mm-hmm. me and my husband, we banter back and forth playfully because he has like this Army Airborne cup and I have like this Marine Corps cup and some other cup. I'm a mug person. So, and he, one day I picked up his cup and he was like, you know, you can't drink out of that cup. And I'm like, boy, please, I could drink out of this cup. But metaphorically, he's like, you didn't earn that. You can't drink out of that cup because you haven't went through what I've gone through to be able to drink out of that cup. And I look at it, and it's like, that's so powerful because I have been to several wars. You know, he's an airborne soldier who had over thousands and thousands of jumps from planes into war-torn situations. He's probably seen and done things to protect this country that nobody should ever see or do. You know what I mean? So he's absolutely right. I cannot drink from that cup. But we looked at it on a huge scope too. Everyone wants to have what everyone else has, but you don't want to go through what everyone else has gone through.
Well, that's the word.
So I would love to have your opinion on why it is so important for people to stay true to their journey and not try to live in a comparison state of being or state of mind.
Powerful questions. Yes. The things that make you go, comparison is a funny thing. And wow. I'm going to say to a degree, it's okay to compare yourself to other people if it's going to be in a way that's helpful for you. Because, like, I think, again, just in my own growth as an entrepreneur, I just didn't have a lot of blueprints of, like, how we do this. I didn't have all the people there to ask, right? Especially coming from a social service field, we don't necessarily get the business training and background and things like that. So I had to look to other people as role models, right? And sometimes you do have to try on other people's shoes for a little while. Think about the little kids when they like put on your shoes and they walk around the house and things like that, but it's too big for them. It doesn't quite fit. Right. You know, so it's say that part again. I'm sorry.
This is a preached word.
Ooh, child. So it's okay to walk in that shoe for a little bit to get your, you know, bearings, feel it out, see what works for you, but don't stay there because it's not the fit for you, right? And you've got to think about what is the right fit for me? What is my right size? What is my right style? How do I want to show up? How do I want to be? And I can take parts of you, but I can't take all of you, even if I try, because like you're saying, like I haven't lived that experience and I haven't done it. So even if I tried, I'm still going to miss out because I haven't done it. So I don't have the same everything that you learned, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to show up in the same way as you. But maybe I can take parts of you to create what I need and stay in my lane on my journey and create my own cup and have my own cup and, you know, in a more meaningful way, drink from my own cup and be proud of my cup.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love it. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Amanda Flood. This has been
awesome.
Amazing. Yes. I feel like we need to do another interview with you to dig deeper into.
Well, you're going to keep going because y'all about to hit 100 and it's just going to continue to multiply. So, we're along for the ride.
I am so excited. So, tell me or tell everyone what's your current projects. What are you working on right now? What could we look for more coming from Dr. Amanda Flood?
Camp. So for us, I'm always just about creating experiences for women and women of color in particular. So we have our mastermind, which I think is going to end up being a yearly thing. It used to be 3 months, now it's moved to 6 months because people just like coming back. So that is definitely kicking off for us. In September and be like kind of rolling. So whenever you hear this, you can always check in with us on that, right? If you know that I need to work on myself because myself is getting in the way of my goals, my purpose, my gifts, my expertise, then that's a space that you want to be in with us so we can challenge that part and help you show up in the way that you need to because the world needs you, right? Despite whatever things we may say to ourselves or whatever things that we may feel. You know, time is passing and people need you to share what you know, right? We have that responsibility. So that accountability group is there, which is just awesome. And every year we do our retreat. We've hit 2 years now. And the last one in Panama really solidified for me that I can bring women together from all these different places, spaces, walks of life, and we can all have this like powerful connection with each other where we feel connected, like we've known each other forever, where we can be vulnerable, where we can share our stories and really learn from each other and just genuine, just wisdom and experiences regardless of where you are. And we can also build our businesses too. So I love that. And it was just confirmation for me that I need to keep doing it. So we'll definitely have more retreat experiences. And maybe like a love to do a conference next year in person for women as well. And yeah, and always building businesses otherwise. So all of the above. So if you need any of that, come hang out with me. Follow me on Instagram.
Right? Come follow at a sister.
That's it. I'm here for you. Amanda Flood, F-L-U-D-D.
That's my next question. Give a shout out to your community. Tell everyone where they can find you.
Yes. So on Instagram, LinkedIn, Amanda Flood, F-L-U-D-D. I think Instagram is a great place to start because you can connect to us everywhere there. So Amanda.Flood. And then also we have a great community on Facebook, the Women Entrepreneurs of Color, Mindset and Motivation for Women Entrepreneurs of Color. So if you just search Mindset Plus Motivation, will come up. So that's a great space too, just in the sense of fostering community. Again, I just really believe in us together and groups of us, and we're just powerful together. So that's a great space. We do a lot of speaking guests in there and challenges in there and share a lot of resources in there. So that's a great space. And then again, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, we're all over.
I'll have all your information in the show notes as well. And I'll make sure I put in the Mindset Plus Motivation because I don't know if I have that. So I will make sure to look into that. And sure. The other thing is, I've noticed that you're drinking tea. So does that mean you're not a coffee drinker?
I drink tea primarily, like hashtag obsessed with it. But I do drink coffee from time to time. It's something that, to switch it up, I'll do that, right? And I'm on this like healthy kick lifestyle where I can't have too much sugar. So the coffee will taste a little bit better. I can tolerate that better than tea without sugar. So I go back and forth.
You pimp out your coffee, though.
Huh?
You pimp out your coffee, or is it just straight black coffee like my husband?
No, I can't do straight black. I still got to do a little bit of sugar, a little bit of cream in there because, yeah.
Look, I have not interviewed not one person yet that has drink straight black coffee. Not one person, but my husband.
Power to him. It's intense. That's a lot, just a lot coming at me. So,
girl, not only is it straight black, but it's dark, roasted, strong. It's like you can smell it. Like it hits you
before. Ooh, aroma.
Yeah.
Spirit. Yes. Yeah. Mm-mm. No, not for me. But it's a nice treat, you know, and I like the flavors, and like you can jazz it up. But yeah, like tea, it's
pumpkin
just
is out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, pumpkin is out. It's pumpkin season.
Mm-hmm. So that's my thing. My husband said is we like the pumpkin spice gang.
Yes.
I love it. Well, thank you again. And before we wrap up, do you have any parting words or words of advice?
Oh my gosh. Listen, I'll just tell, especially all the women listening, I think just keep taking a chance on you. Even when it feels, even if it feels scary, right? And let that become part of your process, taking a risk, learning from it, evolving, and then putting yourself back out there to take a risk, right? A risk might be saying hello to somebody. A risk might be like trying not to be so introverted, right? A risk might be going to an event. Like it could be small, but do it and let's see what happens. Build consistency and let's see what happens. Challenge yourself. Let's see what happens. Be curious. Let's see what happens.
Remember, I'm telling my 18-year-old self, take some risk.
Yeah.
Show up for you because you show up for everybody else. Mm-hmm. And you're going to continue to show up for everybody else throughout your years. And you're going to show it for you, you know? So that's, I love that. Take a chance. Yeah. Thank you so very much. Thank you. Miss Amanda Flood, thank you. Of course, everyone, where you can contact her and reach her will be in our show notes. She has done an amazing job. I just love this. I know we're going to have you back because I have so many more things I want to talk to you about. Really honing in on that mindset coaching because you know I cannot get off of that because I just think we need it and I feel that way because of who I am. So I know we need that. You know, I mean, that's half the battle for us. You know, changing our stinking thinking is what I call it. So thank you so much. I appreciate you. I appreciate what you're doing for the African American women and female community. I know so many other people appreciate you as well. Shouts out to your cousin-in-law, Gabrielle. You know, she has been amazing. And every time I talk to her about you, she just can't say enough great things. So
yeah,
I appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming on the Truth and Coffee Time podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So everyone, again, Miss Amanda's information will be in the show notes. This was a powerful and very impactful interview. I hope you get something out of this. I hope you guys have questions. Please know that down the road, we're going to be having her back to talk more about mindset coaching. Thank you for following Dee and Mr. B, my sidekick, doing sidekick-ish on truthandcoffeetime.com. That's where you can find us, or diverselove.com. And if you want to holler at us, hello at diverselove.com or truthandcoffeetime@gmail.com. We are so amazingly grateful to everyone. Thank you for following us and rocking with us, sister. We love y'all for real. And we're just so happy that you allowed Mrs. D and Miss Amanda Flood to come into wherever you are listening to this podcast with our coffee and tea and sharing our truth with you today, especially over coffee. Thank you, friends, for hanging with us. We got you. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. And also, please follow us on IG, Facebook, and Twitter. Our social platform is at Diverse Love. That's DiverseLuv.
And don't forget, you can listen to our podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcast fix.
Thank you, friends. We love y'all for real.
Okay, me, take us out.
It's Truth and Coffee Time.
Help me not think about all my lows. Think of who you are sometimes. Girl, you always on my mind. Looking like it's Truth and Coffee Time. Tell me what you really want to know. Girl, it ain't.